Mystery Theater. This week from Vancouver, The Duel by Alexandre Dumas. Adapted for radio by Howard Griffin.
How do you define and measure that elusive quality of the human spirit we call courage? Consider, for example, the man who is called upon to face an opponent in a duel, knowing that only his skill and the chance trembling of his adversary's hand may save him from the grave. Lieutenant André de Montigny, for instance, had made a reputation for himself on the field of honor as a fearless and skillful duelist by the time he came to Quebec in 1759.
Welcome back to Quebec, Lieutenant de Montigny.
Thank you, Monsieur Brossard. This is a happy day for me.
Speaking as a citizen, I feel safer with... Welcome back to Quebec, Lieutenant de Montigny.
Thank you, Monsieur Brossard. This is a happy day for me.
Speaking as a citizen, I feel safer with brave soldiers like yourself to strengthen the garrison against the English forces. And speaking as Marie's father, I'm pleased to see how happy your arrival has made my daughter. Frankly, a lonely old widower is not fit company for a pretty young lady.
Father, you speak much too much.
If Marie has been lonely, I should...
Not that my little dove has lacked attention. Far from it, Lieutenant. Ah, you should see the way that the
father,
young men...
Father, please.
Oh, has she been seeing...
No,
my
I have not been seeing anyone else since you were here last, André. Don't take Father's teasing too seriously.
Yes, have no fears. Your little Marie has done little else but talk about nothing else but you. It's a good thing you've been transferred to the Quebec Garrison. I'm ready to admit that I'm getting too old to play chaperone at social functions.
I consider myself lucky to have drawn the assignment.
Oh, you should have seen the way the young blades flocked about her at the governor's ball last week.
Which only proves that there is safety in numbers, Father.
Yes, and that holds for the colony also. I'm convinced that the British will launch their assault very shortly, rather than endure a prolonged winter siege. As a military man, Lieutenant, what do you think?
If the English are foolish enough to attempt a direct assault, we will have a field day cutting them to ribbons below the citadel. No doubt you've seen the extra cannon that were mounted in the past month. But Quebec is now virtually impregnable.
How can you be so confident, André? After looking through a telescope at the British fleet, I had a terrible succession of nightmares which... Oh, a brutal red-coated soldier pursued me from room to room. Well, during one dream, I screamed so loudly that poor father thought I was being murdered in my bed.
And how did you happen to view the British fleet through a telescope?
Oh, Lieutenant Valcourt spirited it away one fine Sunday morning after Mass when we were visiting the fortifications.
Lieutenant Valcourt?
Huh?
I don't think I know him, Mary.
No, probably not. He hasn't been here very long.
More wine, Lieutenant?
Not just now, sir.
Well, I'm afraid I must excuse myself. Business remains as brisk as ever. You'll be dining with us soon, I hope.
With the greatest pleasure, sir.
I am pleased to see you back here. Soldiers like you do a great deal for our morale.
I'm half hoping that the English will continue their siege throughout the winter. It would be my assurance of remaining here on more or less permanent duty.
Who knows what the morrow will bring. Come to think of it, tomorrow is the 13th of September. Let's hope it'll not bring misfortune in any form to anyone. And avoid black cats and ladders.
I'm not the least superstitious.
Oh, then please do something for Marie. She sees bad omens in all sorts of things. But I'm late. Au revoir, Lieutenant.
Good day, Monsieur Broussard.
Will you drink my wine, André? I have no desire for it.
Don't you feel well?
Well enough. But I am worried.
What about?
Oh, so many things. The war, for one. And you?
Me?
Yes, André. It's wonderful to have you here for more than just a leave, but... Oh.
But what, my darling?
I'm afraid. I'm afraid that something might happen to you. If the English do attack in force, things might go badly for us.
Nonsense, Marie. We have the advantage of them. After all, we are the ones sitting up here overlooking the St. Lawrence with hundreds of cannon. And General Montcalm is more than a match for Wolfe.
But you can't be sure, André. History is filled with accounts of military reversals. If anything happened to you, rather than be taken a prisoner, I would kill myself.
Darling, darling, stop being an alarmist and an armchair general. I'll leave the war to the soldiers. That's what we're paid for. Concentrate instead on being pretty, charming, and affectionate.
Oh, André, I love you so. Oh, André!
Oh, I am sorry it was clumsy of me. I'll see that it's replaced as soon as possible.
But the glass doesn't matter, André. It's just... it's bad luck to break a glass given to you by the woman to whom you are betrothed.
Oh, nonsense. If all the old wives' tales were to come true, there would be no end to the troubles of the descent.
Oh, steward, bring me more wine.
That's the second wine glass Valcour has dropped in an hour.
He's had more than enough. Come on, Valcour, you're holding up our game of cards.
The devil take your cards, you far. I've lost too much this week. Steward, bring me wine, blast you. Hurry up, or I'll have you in the cells for a week.
Valcour has had more wine today than I drink in a week. Why the devil is he in such a foul mood?
I believe it's his nature, Lebrun.
And he's in love also, I understand.
I thought that love was supposed to make a man gay and good-natured.
It depends on the circumstances. In Valcour's case, the lady is betrothed already. Or so they say.
Oh, do you know her?
She is a Mademoiselle Brossard, daughter of a well-to-do merchant here in Quebec City. But Valcour, I'm told, didn't stand a chance against the other fellow.
Here comes Major Prevost. Valcour had better pull himself together.
He's been in the Major's bad books before.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, sir.
Major, do you care to join us in a friendly game of cards before dinner?
Thank you, Captain LeBrun. I feel in need of some distraction. Sit down, gentlemen, sit down.
Good evening, Major. You care to share my flagon of wine?
Thank you, Valcour, but I expect to have wine at dinner. I don't believe in the overindulgence.
Major Prevost.
What is it, Saint-Pierre?
Can you tell us, sir, without being indiscreet, what the colonel has decided to do about filling the vacancy of captain?
I suppose I can, considering it'll be posted on the bulletin board tomorrow. A new officer has been transferred from Montreal to fill the vacancy. His name is de Montigny.
De Montigny?
Do you know him?
Oh, not personally, sir. But he is supposed to be well-placed.
I presume you have met him, Major?
Oh, yes, Lebrun, at the colonel's. And since de Montigny is very anxious to make your acquaintance, gentlemen, I have invited him to dine with us.
Someone remarked only today what a skillful duelist he's reputed to be. And with a fiery temper to match.
Yes, they say he's quite fearless on the field of honor. Well, then he should be very well here, eh? A duel is a family affair with us. Monsieur de Montigny will be most welcome. But however quick his temper, he'll have to be careful of it before me, or I shall take it upon myself to cool it.
Apparently, de Montigny recently inherited an impressive sum of money from a rich old aunt.
Money. That's all a man needs to be a success in this life. Courage, devotion to duty, ability. All the manly qualities count for nothing with women when weighed against a sack of gold. Steward, bring me more wine.
Lieutenant Valcour, I suggest that you try some food for a change.
Food, sir, if I may be permitted to say so, is not
what
I want.
Oh, that must be de Montigny crossing the room toward us.
Oh, yes, so it is. This way, de Montigny.
Good evening, Major. Gentlemen?
Come and join us. These are your new regimental comrades, Lieutenant de Montigny. Or perhaps I should say Captain. They're all good fellows and brave soldiers.
I am Captain Vanny Lebrun. Welcome to Quebec.
Thank you. I have long hoped to be stationed here, I can tell you.
I am Lieutenant Jean Dufort. Congratulations on your appointment to Captain.
Thank you.
I'm Charles Saint-Pierre. I hope you'll like it here.
I have no doubts on that score.
And this is Lieutenant Valcour.
Well, then you, Captain, must excuse me if I do not shake hands. It would be a calamity if I were to drop this wine flagon.
Yes. A man should be able to hold his wine.
Oh.
Gentlemen, I am proud and happy to have been transferred to your regiment. It was Major Prevost who recommended me to the colonel.
It was the easiest way to avoid treading on the feelings of my young lieutenants. Bringing in someone from another regiment removes any suggestion of favoritism.
Have you located comfortable enough quarters, Captain de Mountaineer? The city's very crowded these days. I'd be glad to assist you.
Thank you very much, Lebrun. But, Monsieur Brossard, a very generous friend, has offered me the use of a small cottage near his home.
Hmm.
I have my horses there, and an excellent cook, a very good library, a little garden, and a target.
Hmm.
I'm sure I shall be happy as a king.
You practice shooting?
Yes, I do, Lieutenant Valcourt. It is my custom every morning to fire 12 rounds at the target.
Oh, you're very fond of that amusement, then, huh? I don't understand the use of shooting unless it's to do battle or to hunt with.
I think that you are wrong in calling it lost time to learn to shoot with a pistol.
Well, you have been with the regiment only a few minutes, and already you are telling us what is what. Pray, go ahead and tell me why and how I am wrong.
As you undoubtedly know, in military garrison life, an impudent word often leads to a meeting between comrades on the field of honor, in which case he who is known for a good shot inspires respect among those indiscreet persons who amuse themselves by making foolish observations.
That's not much of a reason. In duels, as in everything else, something should be left a chance. I maintain my first opinion and say that an honorable man ought not to take too many precautions.
And why shouldn't he?
Do you play at cards?
Occasionally.
I will explain to you, and I will try to render my explanation clear so that all will understand it. Everyone knows that there are certain card players who have an enviable knack while shuffling the pack, thus adroitly making themselves master of the winning card. Now, I see no difference myself between the man who robs his neighbor of his money and the one who robs him of his life.
Really, Belcour?
I do not say this to you in particular, Captain. And de Montigny, I speak in general, sir.
It is too much as it is, monsieur. I beg Captain Lebrun to terminate this affair with you. Lebrun, you will not refuse me in this request?
Belcour has been drinking. I am sure he will apologize for his rash words.
I apologize for nothing.
Captain Lebrun, do you refuse to act for me?
Of course not. So be it, Captain de Montigny. You have told me yourself you practice shooting every day while I hold a pistol and fire it only on the day I fight. We will equalize the chances. I'll settle the details with Captain Lebrun.
Au revoir, gentlemen. Gentlemen, we must not allow such a fight to take place. De Montigny, you realize that Valcourt has been drinking too much? Tomorrow I shall force him to apologize to
Major, me. I am a newcomer among you. None of you really knows me. I have yet, as it were, to win my spurs. It is impossible for me to let this insult pass without fighting. I don't know what I have done to arouse the gentleman, but it is evident that he has some spite against me.
Well, the truth of the matter is that Belcourt is jealous of you. I happen to know that he's in love with Mademoiselle Brossard, and she has rejected his advances in favor of you.
That explains a good deal, Lebrun. But I must still defend my reputation. Since Valcourt has accepted you as my second, will you see him and arrange matters? Accept all his conditions, and then meet me and Major Provost at my quarters.
If you really intend to go through with this duel, I'd better attend to it immediately, before General Montcalm gets wind of it. Till later, Major.
I would prevent it, but I know that Valcourt is hot-headed enough to find a way regardless. And you also seem to have quite a temper, de Montigny.
Will you let us know the hour of comeback, Captain?
Certainly. Come and bid farewell. One of us.
Here are my conditions for the duel, Captain Lebrun. These two sabers are to be planted at a distance of one pace apart.
Only one pace apart?
Precisely. Lieutenant de Montigny and I shall face one another, each standing behind one of the sabers. Each opponent is to extend his arm at full length and fire at the word three.
You must be mad, Valcourt.
Mad?
Major, tire yourself with so much pacing.
I am restless, de Montigny. I feel like a caged animal.
Now, this is an excellent volume of Hogarth engravings. Are you familiar with his work?
An Englishman?
A must one carry national prejudice into the field of art as well as the field of battle?
I know nothing about art, only artillery. God knows we could do with more of it. Cannon, I mean, not books.
Ah, LeBrun.
I'm sorry to be late. It was unavoidable. I had the very devil of an argument with Valcour. His conditions are fantastic.
What are they?
He insists that both opponents stand behind sabers planted one pace apart, facing one another, arms raised at full length. They both fire at the count of three.
Preposterous. He must be drunker than I thought he was.
Valcour is absolutely serious, sir. However, and this is the strange part of it, only one pistol will be loaded.
Most unusual conditions.
Valcour insists that this way he won't be a victim for you, but an adversary. He maintains that all your skill with the pistol will amount to nothing.
You should have told the fool you couldn't accept such unheard-of conditions.
I protested, Major, that Valcour is adamant on that point. Either Captain de Montigny fights as he proposes, or he will not fight at all. But in that case, Valcour said he would prove that de Montigny is brave only when sure of his own safety, guaranteed by his skill of acquired marksmanship.
I don't like it.
But de Montigny did tell me to accept any conditions he might stipulate.
Yes, you did the correct thing, LeBrun. I had a feeling Valcour might devise something out of the ordinary.
Still don't like it. Come in. Mademoiselle.
Marie. What are you doing here?
What am I doing here, André? Is it you who asked me when this night is perhaps the last of your life? Why am I here? To plead with you not to risk your life.
Who told you about the duel?
News travels quickly among the servants in Quebec.
And General Montcalm is sure to hear of it.
In that case, sir, it might be wise if we were to make ourselves scarce until the appointed time.
No, André. You mustn't risk your life.
Come, we had better leave.
Oh, stay, gentlemen. Perhaps you may be able to help me in what I am about to say.
Please, Marie, don't make it difficult for me.
I implore you, André. Do not fight this duel with Paul Valcour. You can't end two lives by this useless act.
What do you mean?
Remember what I told you would happen to me if ill befell you. Our lives belong to each other now, André. Do you hear? You can't do it.
In the name of heaven, don't torture me this way. Can I refuse to fight? I shall be dishonored, lost. If I could do so cowardly an act, shame would kill me more surely than Valcour's pistol.
Major Provost, you are esteemed in the regiment as a man of honor. You can then judge about affairs of honor. Oh, have pity on me, sir, and tell André he can refuse such a duel as this. Yes, make him understand it is not a duel but an assassination. Oh, speak to him, Major. If he won't listen to me, he will to you.
Marie, what do you know about the conditions of the encounter?
I hesitated at the door before entering and overheard Captain LeBrun explaining them. Oh, please, Major, I beg of you to interpose.
Mademoiselle,
or must I go straight to General Montcalm himself?
You wouldn't dare.
To spare you any sorrow, Mademoiselle, I would willingly lay down my life, but to counsel Captain de Montigny to be unworthy of his uniform by refusing this duel is impossible. Each adversary, your betrothed as well as Valcour, has a right to propose his conditions.
Then André should propose new conditions.
But whatever the conditions, he's in circumstances which render this duel absolutely necessary. He's known as a skillful duelist. To refuse Valcour's conditions will be an admission that he counts upon his skill.
Please, Marie, you don't know what you demand. Do you wish me to fall so low that you yourself would be ashamed of me? I ask you, are you capable of loving a dishonored man?
You are right, André. It is not I who would love you less, but you who would hate me more. We must resign ourselves to our fate. Perhaps we shall never see each other again.
Gentlemen, the time approaches. We'd better both retire. I have several letters to write before dawn. At 5, we must be at the rendezvous.
Well, let me stay with you till then, André. I promise not to make any more protests. I'll sit by quietly while you write your letters.
Very well. But you must not be upset.
Till later, then. Au revoir, mademoiselle.
After you.
ground mist this morning has a penetrating chill.
It would take more than that to dampen our duelists.
I have a premonition that one of them will not see the sun rise.
Do you think that de Montigny may take offense because I have agreed to serve as Valcourt's second?
No, it's hardly likely. Oh, there's Valcourt, tethering his horse by the bridge.
The others are approaching from the opposite direction.
Good morning, gentlemen. I trust I have not kept you waiting unduly.
Time passes all too quickly on a day like this.
Quite so. Did you sleep well, Captain de Montigny?
I always sleep well. Are you ready, Valcourt?
Yes.
Then let us proceed without delay.
Who gives the word to fire, Captain Lebrun?
We gave no thought to that detail. Do you have any preferences, de Montigny?
Major Provost, will you render this service?
Very well.
Good enough to indicate our places. Then load, if you please.
Well, that will not be necessary. One of the pistols in this case is loaded, the other is not.
You know which is which, Valcourt.
What does it matter, Major? Captain de Montigny will choose.
It is well. Let us get on with it.
Make your choice, de Montigny.
Dufour, kindly plant these two sabers in the ground, one pace apart.
I don't understand it. You will be holding the pistols only 6 inches from each other's hearts.
Precisely.
Gentlemen, take your positions.
De Montigny seems remarkably calm and self-possessed.
Valcourt appears uneasy. Look at his eyes.
I don't like it, sir. He may have something up his sleeve.
Unfortunately, the conditions were accepted. Are you ready, gentlemen?
Ready, sir.
Yes, ready.
Raise your pistols. Fire at the count of three. One. Two. Three.
De Montigny chose the unloaded pistol.
Fire. Valcourt.
It is not for you to command, De Montigny. It is I who must decide whether to fire or not. And that depends on how you answer what I am about to say.
Speak then. But in the name of heaven, speak quickly.
No, look, I haven't come here to kill you, De Montigny. I have come with the carelessness of a man to whom life holds nothing. It has kept none of the promise it has made to him. You are rich, you are beloved, you have a promising future before you. Life must be dear to you, but fate decided against you. It is you who must die and not I. Well, Captain de Montigny, give me your word not to be so prompt in the future to fight duels, and I will not fire this pistol.
I have not been prompt to call you out, Valcourt. You insulted me by an outrageous comparison, and I felt compelled to challenge you. Fire, then. I have nothing to say to you.
My conditions cannot wound your honor. Be our judge, Major Prevost. I will abide by your opinion. Perhaps Captain de Montigny will follow my example.
He has conducted himself as bravely as possible. If he isn't killed, it isn't his fault. Gentlemen, can de Montigny accept the imposed conditions?
Yes, sir. Of course he can.
And without staining his honor in the slightest.
Captain consents, Valcourt. In the future, he will be less prompt to challenge.
It is you who speak, Major Prevost, and not Captain de Montigny.
Will you affirm my words, de Montigny?
Very well, sir. I consent.
Oh, bravo.
Yes, bravo.
This is the happiest ending to any duel I have ever witnessed.
Oh, I am more gratified than anyone. All has ended as I desired. Now, Captain de Montigny, I've shown you that before a resolute man, the art of shooting is nothing in a duel. And that if the chances are equal, a good shot is on the same level as a bad one. Though I did not wish in any case to kill you. I only had a great desire to see how you would look death in the face. You are a man of courage, de Montigny. Accept my compliments. Oh, by the way, neither pistol was loaded.
Neither?
I will demonstrate.
What? This is even more insulting than the first offense. And now you think it's ended, do you? No. No, it must recommence, and this time both pistols shall be loaded if I have to load them myself.
No, Captain, I have given you your life. I will not take it back. Insult me if you wish. I will not fight you.
And it is me whom you will fight.
Why, you, Major.
You acted like a scoundrel, Valcourt. You deceived de Montigny and all of us.
If in 5 minutes your dead body is not lying at my feet, there is no such thing as justice.
Well, I don't understand.
And if the Major doesn't kill you, I will.
Or I. Oh, the devil, I can't fight with you all. Choose one among you and I'll fight with him. Oh, it won't be a duel, but an assassination. I'm sure I couldn't shoot my horse at more than a few paces, let alone a man.
Never fear, Valcour. We will do nothing that the most scrupulous honor can complain of. All our officers are insulted, for under their uniform you conducted yourself like a rascal. You've made Captain de Montigny pass through all the sensations of a man condemned to death, while you were perfectly at ease, knowing full well that both pistols were not loaded. Finally, you have refused to fight with the man whom you have doubly insulted.
Now, load the pistols, Major, load them! I will fight with anyone!
You will fight none of your comrades. You have disgraced your uniform. We can no longer serve with you. Rather than make your divisions as known to the colonel, I ask you to give in your resignation on the cause of bad health. I'll see to it that the surgeon will sign all necessary certificates. Today is the 13th of September. You have from now to the 13th of October to quit the regiment.
I will quit it, certainly. Not because it is your desire, but mine. And a curse upon the lot of you.
Major, why did you force me to consent to that scoundrel's conditions? Without you, I should never have accepted them.
My comrades and I will take all the responsibility. You acted nobly, de Montigny. I must tell you that you are indeed a man of honor.
And there goes one troublemaker. The regiment will be better off without
him. Yes. Well, gentlemen, this affair has ended more happily than one could have hoped for.
Mademoiselle Bussard will be overjoyed at the glad news, I'm sure.
Yes. Yes, and I promised to go immediately to her once it had ended.
Cannon fire. What could be happening?
It must be the signal for the English attack.
Quickly, report to your battle stations. There's not a moment to be lost.
Come along, Captain de Martigny. You don't want to miss any of the fun, do you?
Coming, Saint-Pierre.
Many years have passed since the tragedy, years of change and turmoil. Today is the 13th of September, the day that altered the lives of so many persons. Two opposing generals died that day on the plains of Abraham, as did many a brave soldier in their armies. Roll call is long, and I knew many of them. Major Prevost, Captain Lebrun, Lieutenant St-Pierre, and others. Now that day also, a beautiful young woman watched Lieutenant Valcour gallop past her window. Since he was alive, she assumed her betrothed had been killed in the duel, and she took poison. But here in the monastery, we found a peaceful refuge. Each year, for the past 3 years now, I have said a special prayer for our devoted brother, who toiled for 30 years within these ancient walls. And when he died, we buried him here under the great elm. Not once during our years of service together in this monastery did Brother André remind me of the duel we once fought on that morning that Quebec fell to the invading British army.
The Duel by Alexandre Dumas, adapted for radio by Howard Griffin. André de Montigny was played by Robert Clothier. Marie Brossard by Linda Sorensen. Paul Valcour by Derek Ralston. And Major Prevost by Roy Brinson. Other parts were played by Bill Buckingham, James Johnston, William Buck, and Eric Schneider. Mystery Theater was produced this week in the Vancouver studios of the CBC with sound effects by Lars Eastholm and technical operation by Gene Lovrock. Direction, Don Mowat.